Welcome to Cornerstone Baptist Church, to our online service this morning. My name's Duncan and I will be leading you through this morning. If you are joining us for the first time, then a very big welcome. Or maybe you're coming for a second or third time and haven't yet got to know anyone. You've just been watching on YouTube or on the website or whichever way. And you would like just to touch base, please do drop us an email or a message, and one of us from the church will get in touch and hopefully get to know you a little bit more. Today is Valentine's Day, and a friend of mine just down the road received a Valentine's card entitled, "Daniel, be my Valentine." The problem is there's no Daniel at their house. The second problem is there is no return name or address. And so out to Facebook they went. Right now, half of Horsforth is trying to find out who this Daniel is and who is the one who wants them to be their Valentine. Will he reciprocate that love is the question we're all waiting and hoping we'll find out. This morning, God's word comes to us as a Valentine's card. The Bible, often described as a love letter. A letter which says to us that he loves us, that he listens to us, that he will never leave or forsake us. And God is asking, will we reciprocate his love? There's a beautiful image in Zephaniah where it says this: "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemies. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quieten you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." What a lovely image of God's love for us this morning. Let us come to God in song as we sing two songs led by Paul and Toby and Jess: "Angel Armies" and "Yes and Amen."
Side, the one who reigns forever. Are yes and amen. says amen. All your promises are yes and amen.
Father, I will rest in your promises. My confidence is in your faithfulness. All your promises are yes and amen to us. Thank you. Well, I hope those songs have wooed you and reminded you and refreshed you in the love that God has for each of us. Later, we are going to take communion after the service within Zoom. So there'll be more details on the screen right at the end. But please be ready to join in that communion, act of communion. Right now, I'm going to hand over to the Tuesday night youth group who are going to bring to us God's word taken from 1 Samuel chapter 16. Over to them.
Samuel?
Yes, God?
How long will you continue to feel sorry for Saul? I have rejected him as king of Israel. Fill your container with olive oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, who lives in Bethlehem, because I have chosen one of his sons to be king.
How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me.
Take a young calf with you. Say, I have come to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice. Then I will tell you what to do. You must appoint the one I show you.
Do you come in peace?
Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord.
Don't look at how handsome Eliab is or how tall he is, because I have not chosen him. God does not see the same way people see. People look at the outside of a person, but God looks at the heart.
Abinadab?
The Lord has not chosen this one either.
Shemaiah?
The Lord has not chosen this one.
Nethanel?
Neither has the Lord chosen this one.
Radai?
The Lord has not chosen this one.
Ozem?
Nor has the Lord chosen this one. Are these all the sons you have?
There is still the youngest, David, but he is tending to the sheep.
Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives.
Go appoint him, because he is the one.
Thank you so much to the young people for acting out our reading today. So many beautiful and handsome young people for God to choose from. And yet God chose just one for the call to be king. What was it that God was looking for in his future king? What quality? Well, as we consider our callings and the things which God is wanting us to do, the adventure that he's wanting to take us on, we too, like David, need to have a good heart that's ready to say yes to him. Let that be our prayer, that our heart is ready to say yes to him as we sing this song, You Call Me Out Upon the Waters.
Thank you. justice without borders. Let me walk upon the water, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the water.
God, thank you for Samuel and the risk that he took for you. Thank you that you can use us to share your good news, and help us remember that you will use us even when we don't feel up to your standards. Help us to remember that you don't look at what humans look at. You don't look at our outward appearance. You look inside at our hearts. Thank you that you know everything about us and that we can be ourselves with you. Give us courage like Samuel in our own lives, to live for you and know your voice at work, at school, at home, in our families. Help us, especially at this time in lockdown, to remember that we don't have to wait to do your work. You're working through us all the time, even if it doesn't always feel like it. Thank you that you accept us all for who we are and that you love us unconditionally. Thank you for using us to show others your love. Please help us to get to know you better and to be ready to be used by you and live out your love in our lives. Lord, we pray for the current situation with coronavirus. Please help us to keep our eyes on you and to keep going. Thank you for the key workers and everyone working so hard to keep the country going. Please help them to hear your voice and know your love in their work. Lord, help us to keep you in our hearts at this time. And we pray that you'll use us, even while we're apart, to encourage one another and to help each other grow in faith and understanding of you. We pray that we'll be able to meet physically again soon, but we thank you for the technology that allows us to still interact with each other in the meantime. Thank you that you hear every prayer we say and answer them in your perfect timing. And thank you that you'll always be with us, helping us in everything we do. Amen.
So this morning we are continuing in our series on Samuel. I do hope you are learning a little bit more about this character from the Bible and that you are enjoying that. I also hope that you're learning a little bit more about God's character and also learning a little bit more about your own character as we journey through this series. This morning we are looking at the passage of 1 Samuel 16, 1 to 13, which Kate read to us earlier. In my NIV Bible, this passage is entitled The Anointing of David. In the series, Peter has entitled it Open Heart Surgery. I should ask Peter if it's a coincidence that we are looking at the heart on Valentine's Day. So, in this passage, Samuel is being sent by God to go and anoint a new king for Israel. Things have not gone so well under Saul's reign, which the Israelites were kind of warned about last week. And so God has instructed Samuel to go and anoint a new king. This would not be a king due to his lineage. It was not going to be Saul's sons, but a king God was going to appoint and reveal to Samuel. A few months ago, I remember preaching on David and told you that he was not the natural fit for a king. He held no status. He was the youngest son of Jesse, and we know that he was a shepherd living out on the hillside and probably have given very little education. So David is not the likely candidate to become Israel's king. But under God's guidance, Samuel goes to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, to anoint the man who will be the next king. It is interesting to note that Jesse brings his sons to Samuel to be anointed, but doesn't even think to bring in his youngest son, David. It's the older sons who are brought before Samuel, and David is only called upon because Samuel asked him to bring his youngest in from the hillside. And so, on Samuel's instructions, David is brought before him. Before Samuel anoints David, before he meets with Jesse and his sons, God says this to Samuel in verse 7. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Samuel knew God was going to direct him to the right son. Samuel knew God so well. He knew and was able to recognize God's voice. Samuel knew when God was calling him to do something, and we discovered that a few weeks ago when God first called Samuel as a boy. Samuel knew God's voice, and he knew God's heart. And so when Samuel meets David, God lets him know that David is the chosen one to become king. As Samuel knew God's heart, David also knew God, and he knew God's heart. And God knew David's heart. God knew David inside and out. He knew all about him. He knew his character, his strength, his love for God. And God knew that David was going to make a great king. So what did make David the chosen one? Why was he so different from his brothers? I think God chose David to be king because ultimately David was a man after God's own heart. But I do wonder where David got this heart from. We know he would not have been overly educated. After all, he was the youngest son of a very large family. He'd been put out on the hillside to look after the sheep, not the job that anyone else wanted. And I imagine as David sat out on that hillside looking after that sheep, he was spending time in the presence of God, simply just being in the company of God. He walked alongside God on that hillside and developed a relationship and heart for God that gave him a depth of love and character. When we read some of David's Psalms, we glimpse that closeness and intimacy that David had with God. And that was the heart that set him apart. It was because of that heart that God called him to become king. The calling of David to become king is a powerful reminder to each one of us that we don't need to be people of power and influence to be people after God's own heart. We don't need to be popular or have lots of friends to be people after God's own heart. We don't need status, influence, power, or to be respected by many to be people after God's own heart. We simply just need to seek God in our everyday, to actively spend time in his presence and allow him to reveal himself to us. We get to know people by spending time with them. I know that's not very easy during a pandemic over Zoom, but just by being with people, we get to know them. By listening to people and to what they have to say, we get to know people. By sharing a two-way conversation, we get to know people. And the same is with God. It's only by being in the presence of God, by actively listening to him, by sharing with him that we get to know him. In the past 3 years or so, I've been influenced by the Celtic tradition and have enjoyed engaging with some of the material from the Northumbria community. Much of that tradition is liturgy, but it's also about actively listening to God, about taking time to simply be in God's presence. Not to go into God's presence with a long list of prayer requests before quickly moving on to the rest of my daily tasks. Not to simply whip through a Bible reading and thought so that I have ticked that off my list to do that day. Although don't get me wrong, that sometimes is my attitude. But I have tried to work into my rhythm of life to simply be in God's presence, to allow him to speak to me, for him to form the agenda rather than the other way around. Last year, during the first lockdown, Kirkstall Abbey became a special place for me. I often went alone just to walk around the place, not because Kirkstall Abbey is a mystical place, but for a time it was a place where I could close my mind off to the rest of life's demand and to simply spend time looking at creation. I watch the winter move to spring, to summer, to autumn, and then back to winter. I simply meant just to be in God's presence. And so, as I imagine David out on that hillside, far away from his family and watching his sheep, he would have simply have just spent time with his Creator. And from here, by simply being in God's presence, he was able to develop a heart that was after God's own heart. This, I believe, was the best preparation he had to become king. Verse 7 again. The Lord looks at the things. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God looked beyond the physical, and he was able to see God's heart when he chose him to be anointed to become king. I wonder how often we are able to do the same. I would like to think that I can see beyond someone's physical appearance and to see their heart, but it's so hard to move beyond that physical outward appearance. Like many of you, I use social media. I am trying to reduce my time on it, but it is so addictive, isn't it? In the past few years, I've found myself posting less and less on Facebook and have moved to the Instagram platform. I think it's the pretty photos on Instagram that seduce me, and especially if the images are about food, fitness, or fashion. See, I am showing you my own vanity. In the last few years on social media, we have seen the rise of the influencer. These are often ordinary people who have gathered a huge social media following. And now, because so many people follow them, companies pay them money to use and to subtly advertise their products. The life of a social media influencer is glamorous, or so they would have us believe. They use clever camera angles, filters, and tricks to change the way they look, and carefully set up every image and video. Things are not quite as they first appear, and this is done to achieve likes. The culture of influencers, some of whom now make millions of pounds, is all about the appearance, the outward appearance. Creating the perfect scene for a photo, giving it the right lighting or filter, and making sure the image is cropped and not so everything in the background can be seen. In today's society, we can so easily get caught up in the external, even if we go beyond the superficiality of looks. We often look for other external successes, be it jobs, education, authority, power, influence, status, wealth. And often power, status and wealth come all together in a neat package. We can be seduced by it. We can strive for it ourselves, or perhaps we can think we're not good enough for it. Perhaps we even present a better version of ourselves than the reality, either on social media or in real life. Do we attempt to give others a good impression of ourselves? Do we display a facade? Do we say or do things because we want others to think better of us than we really are? Do we attempt to cover up aspects of our character? We may be able to deceive others, but we cannot deceive God. It's so easy to try and to make ourselves look good in front of others, but God doesn't care about what we look like. He cares about our heart, about our love for him and our love for others. This is all about character, the person we are beyond what we do, what we look like and what we say in public. Dallas Willard says this: the people to whom we minister and speak will never recall 99% of what we say to them, but they will never forget the kind of persons we are. What we do is less important to God than who we are. And the reality is who we are has the powerful influence on the people around us. When Jesus was on earth, people tried to trick him. They tried to find out how much that he knew about the law and the scripture. In Matthew 22, we read that the Pharisees tried to trick Jesus in asking him which was the greatest commandment. The Pharisees loved to follow the law, an outward expression of their devotion, but perhaps not always coming from the heart. They asked Jesus because they were testing him about his knowledge of the law and his observance of it. And Jesus' answer in verse 37 is clear and simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. That is the greatest commandment. And Jesus goes on to say in verse 39, and the second is to love your neighbour as yourself. This is all about the heart. Ultimately, as Christians, we are simply to seek after God's heart, to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and we are to love others. As I was preparing for today, the words of Martin Smith came to mind in his song, Lord, You Have My Heart. He says this, Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. And so today, I just want to ask you, do you have a heart after God's heart? Are you listening to God? Are you loving others? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have created us all differently. We thank you that regardless of our background, our education, our so-called significance, that we are significant to you and are loved by you. Help us to become people who have your heart, to be people who seek after you and your ways. Help us to love you more, to know you more, and to love others. And in this time of isolation, let your presence be very real to us every day. Amen.
My righteousness, oh God, I
hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love.
Thank you very much to everyone who's been involved in this service. Thank you to Jess, to Paul and to Toby for the music. Thank you to Becky for your beautiful and removing prayers. Thank you to the youth group for that lovely animated reading. And just to say that even though some of you didn't get chosen today, all of you have been called by God to do wonderful things for Him. And thank you, Caroline, for your encouraging words. A reminder that Zoom is on after I finish, and we'll be taking communion within that context. And also a reminder to those who are new, if you just want to reach out and make contact, we'd love to hear from you and love to be in touch with you. A final thought to finish. I've been reading a book given to me by my good friend Patty. Love Does, it's called, by Bob Goff. And he tells in one of his chapters a story of discovering a picture of a puppeteer that he absolutely loves. It's in an art museum. He recognises it will cost a lot of money. And he goes and finds out how much it costs. It takes him a full year to save up. Eventually he goes back to the art museum with the money. He buys the painting. To his surprise, the curator comes out with two paintings, not one. He said, why two? He said, one's a fake to put on your wall and one the real to put away in some locked away safe. Bob looked at the curator, looked at the paintings, and thought, I don't want to put a fake on my wall. I want to see the real thing. I think when we are thinking about coming to God with a good heart, it's important to remember that God isn't worried about the odd blemish that might come if we put ourselves out there. The risk that we might get muddied by life. God wants the real us. And I think the beginning of having a good heart is to be able to come to God just as we are. And so I want to read you this blessing to remind you of just the depth of God's love, and pray that you would know just how much God really does love you today. Ephesians 3 says these words. It's Paul's prayer. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness, all the fullness of God. Amen. Oh.